Okay, let me lock in.
All right.
Do the headphones work?
Yeah, but I don't use them. Oh, okay. We are live. Episode 2 of Keep It Esoteric. We are with one quarter of the Kloopcore podcast.
Her name is Liv, and she is all freaking amazing. 28 from San Diego with an amazing personality. Cannot run out of personality even if I tried. Like, you could, like, squirt me like a shirt, and my personality would drip out endlessly in a bucket, and you would have to get insurmountable buckets to kind of, to point is, I am a very excited person to be here, and I'm also have a lot to say, because I never shut the frick up ever. So, yeah.
She also can't not cuss, but don't worry. We'll fix that.
No, I'm locking in. I haven't said a single cuss word yet. So.
All right. So, Liz, I want to start with a really, really, really cliche question.
Mm-hmm.
How has your winter term been?
Oh, that's so cliche. Oh, you're so cliche. My winter term, definitely better than my fall term. Because I don't want to talk about my fall term. That's a little bit of a... I don't want to talk about that. But my winter has been good, all things considered. Destigmatizing mental health, antidepressants are good for you.
Oh, yeah.
Let's keep it at that. I think it's definitely a hard adjustment to, like, my classes and stuff. I didn't feel like I'm having imposter syndrome all the time, but I am having an excellent time, like, doing radio and working in my lab. So I think, all things considered, I'm doing pretty great. How is your winter going?
My winter has been busy. It's been very, very busy. I have a job now at a daycare, as some people know. I also am in a play, but I'm not a theater kid.
She's like, I could never be a theater kid, though.
No. And you know what? It was a long time coming, because I did marching band for 5 years straight.
It was a long time coming. OGs know.
So, I'm in a play. I'm finishing midterms. I'm in some clubs. I'm trying to keep me as busy as possible so I can't focus on boys. Or, like, other people or friendships or stuff that, like, you know, like, stuff that would keep me, like, preoccupied, but, like, I don't want to focus on it. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but it's whatever. I keep myself busy. I've been trying to go to the gym. I've kind of given up on that, but I'm gonna go back, hopefully tomorrow. Yeah, it's been very busy. I would say it's compared to last term, though, it's a lot more peaceful, surprisingly.
Mm-hmm. I actually totally agree with that. I feel like there's... Because fall is so, like, energetic. I almost said a word I'm not allowed to say on here. Fall is just so energetic. Like, everybody's like, oh, I'm a freshman. Like, let's go. Yeah. Let's party crazy. And then it's just, like, now it's just, like, we know what we like and what we don't like. And I feel like people are starting to fall into, like, their respective, like, corners and crevices. Like, I feel like I found pretty much, like, what I like to do, what I don't like to do, which are pretty legal. But, and all things considered, you know, I think, yeah, people are starting to chill out. I think it's peaceful. Yeah.
I will say, surprisingly, this was the first term where I actually went out. Like went out. And, like, got under the influence of everything. And you know what? I tell my mom everything. I don't keep secrets from her. So when I told her, like, I went out, and by the way, I did have some drinks, she went, yay, you're going out! Loser. No, but the thing is, they really don't lie when they say that. It's not that the party is lame, it's just that you didn't have enough alcohol.
That is true.
Was the funnest night of my life at the stupidest party ever.
Yeah.
We can cuss a little bit, okay?
Was it like a frat party or like an event?
Yes.
It was a frat party,
and I went with very, very two special people in my life, but the issue was not them. The issue was the fact that I don't like how I am under the influence. And that's why I avoid substances. Because when I get under the influence, I get very, very... It's, like, really hard to be self-aware, too, when you're under the influence. But when I'm under the influence, I feel like I start to see it as an excuse to do a bunch of stuff that I wouldn't normally do.
Yeah.
Because I have that veil. Like, I'm still fully conscious and aware of what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, you know what? People don't know that. So I'm going to act out.
Yeah.
And I don't I don't mean act out. Like, I wasn't, like, making out with random people or anything. I think one of my friends was like, have one more drink. And I was like, no, because if I do, I will end up, like, smooching some random person.
Yeah.
But, like, I would go up to people and be, like, talking to them. And I obviously knew that they did not want, like, they wanted to leave. And I'd be like, no. You're staying here. We're talking. Because I'm drunk right now. And you can't deny me. Because I'm drunk.
Oh,
and I was fully aware. I was like, no, we're going to have this conversation. I was laughing so loud. One of my friends fell while running. And when he fell, I went, ah! I was cackling like a witch. The music was still really bad, though. I mean, yeah, I can't have, you can't give me enough alcohol in the world to bump to dubstep Miley Cyrus.
Wait, that is so hilarious. I just, like, I love it when it's to the point where you're like, fuck it, frick it, everything's funny, everything's, like, so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally, I totally get that. Okay, the subtype of people at parties that I hate, though, like, no tea, no shade, is, like, when they act drunker than what they are. It's one thing to be, like, drunk and be, like, acting respectively drunk, but to feel that little bit of, like, that 1%, no, 1%, 1% blood alcohol concentration would kill you.
Yeah, no,
I like,
yeah.
Like, the 0.003% alcohol, like, BAC in your blood, and you start acting like you're about to get Good Sam. No, not Good Sam. Like, just, like, you just start acting a little bit too crazy, and we know that that's not true.
No, yeah, because, yeah, you're right. You're completely right.
That is, like, my biggest pet peeve. I'm, like, I don't, like...
Yeah.
What's going on?
And if you get to the point where you do start making stupid decisions, like cheating on your partner, making out with random people, like all that, like you've had too much to drink at that point. I feel like you've had too much. And that was the thing. Like, I knew my limits. Mm-hmm. I knew my limits. Now, that being said, am I going out every weekend and drinking? Because I know that there's guys, alcohol poisoning is still real.
Okay? Yeah.
And I don't want to have a beer gut. By the time I'm 22, all right? No tea, no shade.
Not at all.
So many people are on that way, and I'm not trying to be like that. No, babe, not you. But
she said no tea, no shade,
no,
though.
No. But I'm just saying, like, I definitely think, I mean, like, there's a one point when you're drunk, and there's one point where you're not, and that's when you have to start setting yourself up to make good decisions, right?
Mm-hmm.
You want to have fun. But if you know... At a certain point, you're going to start, like, not remembering anything. Stop.
Yeah. I've never gotten to the point where I know that I'm... Like, I always think that I was like, oh, wait, like, I'm not going to... But then I do end up remembering. I feel like it's kind of like a brownout. Like, it comes back to me. And, like, actually, that, like, my brownouts in the fall, I was like, actually, let's just take a step back. But also, like, just think about, like, people as a whole. Like, I think if you're just, like, a shitty person... A bad person. You're a bad person, like, in general. Alcohol is just going to enhance who you already are. And I know that it does make it easier for you to make bad choices. But if you're somebody that, like, is always kind of on, like a mind path that's not very considered kindly upon others.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an English learner. Then, like, just drinking is going to make that so much more obvious to other people. Like, I feel like, I think it's easy to kind of put... aside people's differences for, like, who they are as a person. But I think, like, it's a very thin line between if you're just... That sounded like a mouse in a little chair squeak.
No, I'm listening to that, like, I thought it was a fan, and then I realized, oh, yeah, it is a fan.
Oh.
But anyways, no, you're spitting some facts.
Yeah, anyway. No, I do act, like, goofy sometimes, though. I'll say, like, I get, like, super, like... Like, I start laughing, and, like, the things I find funny are, like, just, like, random, and I kind of off-put people because of how much I'm giggling. But, like, there are worse things to be.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Like, the takeaway is, like, you should know how to handle yourself.
You need to know your limits. And that's
exactly
the thing. That's why I can't blame a lot of parents for being, you know, like, no, like, I don't want you going to this party. I don't want you doing whatever. Like, my mom, of course, knows that I like, am not going to go crazy and, like, get behind a wheel and, like, kill, like, 7 people. So when she heard out that, like, I went out, she was like, oh, my God, Dominique! She was like, oh, finally. Like, I thought she was never going to have fun. But some parents have the right to be concerned because when you're having fun for the first time, you don't really know your limit.
Mm-hmm.
So... A lot of the time, I mean, I feel like last time I went out, I feel like I did too much. I think I really did. Some people, when they hear how much I drink, they're like, oh, that's nothing. Like, I have a friend, and I know she could, she'll throw that shit. She could throw it back.
Oh.
Other people are like, oh, that's nothing. Some people are like, oh my God, you can't believe you have that much. It's just, everyone's has different limits.
Yeah.
And you cannot let that peer pressure
and
the environment around you kind of persuade you into going past that
limit. Exactly. Yeah, and it's not just because, like, I feel like I don't want to make it seem like, oh, it's so annoying people don't know limits. It's also dangerous. It's also so dangerous, and I feel like it's not, like, a super common way to die, but, like, it is cold outside. And I think, like, it's just, like, you just have to love yourself as much as everybody else, like, cares about you. Like, be real, bro. Like, lock in, bro. Like, that's, you're a human being. Like, you should not let, like, alcoholic
that's
guide.
That's so real. You have to care about yourself, the way you expect people to care about you. That's...
Exactly.
That's such a good quote, because a lot of people expect other people to be taking care of them. Especially when they're under the influence. Especially when they're under the influence. Can you make sure that I don't drink too... No! You do that. You do it yourself, girl. Oh my God.
You know, like, within, like, moderation, like, if it's, like, one time they ask, okay. But if it's, like, yeah, nobody...
If it's every time, then,
It's, like, hard wake-up call. Like, I'm sorry, nobody, like, we all just want to have fun.
Right.
Like, just... Yeah. And we all want to be safe. So I think that should, like, if you're going to do anything at all, those should be the only two things in your mind that you care about is, like, I want to be safe. And I want to have fun while being safe. Like,
and I've never had a friend that has put that responsibility on me of, like, I need you to be my caretaker for the night. I need you to do this and that for me.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm going to expect you to not be under the... I'm going to expect you to not have fun. So your job is going to be to take care of me. But that's the thing. If I happen to be under the influence as well... I mean, I'm not going to be a good caretaker. So now we're both fucked. Now we're both, you know, shit out of luck. Like, you're drunk, I'm drunk. Like, and this is hypothetical, by the way. This is not happening.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, you have to have that amount of discernment and responsibility. And I feel like, I mean, given that we're young and dumb, a lot more people than I expect don't have that responsibility.
I mean, there's a reason that the drinking age is 21. I'll leave it at that. Like, I just feel like we are... Well, let's not, because I feel like I just opened a conversation. It's like, wait, how can people that are 18 enlist in the military and, like, you know, give their lives to service, but they can't buy beer?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I feel like, because there are other countries that have lower drinking ages, of course. Like
Mexico.
Mexico, a lot of Latin America. I mean...
And, wait, finish, because I feel like I have an amazing thing to say about this.
I feel like their cultures are way more...
Relaxed about drinking.
Relaxed about drinking, so it's not that much of a problem
when it comes to... That is, like, exactly what I was...
When it comes to, like, drunk driving and, like, doing stupid stuff under the influence. Like, when you kind of, I don't want to say normalize it, when you decriminalize it to a certain extent, it stops, like, that restriction stops making people want to act out.
Exactly. And I feel like for a long time, I've thought this for the longest, I feel like defiance, there's a culture that kind of creates itself in the defiance. Like, it is culturally unifying to be against something. And I guess, like, you can apply that to anything you want, but I think in this context, like, it is, like, enriching. Like, it does give you, like, that dopamine boost. Like, you do feel like you're part of something bigger when you break a law. Not a law, but a law that people don't really deem as something that's, like wrong, you know?
Yeah.
Like, there is, like, that excitement. And I think, like, it's just, like, I don't really know too much about, like, how socially, like, how psychologically these things are, like, engineered to make us feel this way. But I do know that, like, if the drinking age was away, I feel like we wouldn't see as much chaos.
And I wish someone from Europe was here to, like, verify this for me, because I don't know. But I feel like most of the time when people are drinking... In Europe, it's because it's at events that have the appropriate amount of alcohol and have, like, the appropriate types of alcohol. Like, I don't think they're getting down in Germany drinking Hennessy. Like, I could be wrong if someone wants to prove me wrong. But I think it's usually, like, oh, they're, like, you know, at a house party.
They got the Hennessy!
I think it's, like, they're at a house party and they have some wine. Or they're at a banquet and they have some wine. They're not having, like, taking shots of tequila and stuff like that. Mm. But the thing is, in America, I think there definitely needs to be this understanding that, like, Now, I don't really know how I stand on the decriminalization of, like, drinking alcohol, like, at 18, like, if they should make it lower, because I feel like that's this... No, I don't think we should make it lower. I think the issue is that everything else that we're allowed to do, besides voting, voting at 18, I think is fine.
Yeah.
But, like, the military, for example, I feel like, no, because...
I vividly remember watching Lady Bird, and on her 18th birthday, she bought a cigarette, and I was like, fuck you. Oh, freak you. I was like, I was just really angry. I was like,
Yeah, I think the thing with substances, and because we're so young and our frontal cortex is not developed yet, and our brain's not developed yet, I feel like America's culture is way too restrictive now to the point where putting that drinking age down to 18 would actually have worse consequences.
Exactly. Yeah, I feel like there would be a big boom in people who drink, and then, you know, there's, like, a lot of, like, research lately that's been saying alcohol is, like, the leading cause of cancer, and I think, like, it's, like, this super weird argument between, like, letting the people have autonomy to do whatever they want with whatever substances and protecting them at the same time. But if we're talking about the government, we could talk about Project 2025 and, like, obviously this argument of, like, the distinction between, like, restricting people and letting them do what they want in the name of safety is not a thing. It's just not a thing right now, and it won't be for the next 4 years. I think we've lost that narrative completely. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're right.
That was a big convo to open.
And yeah, all I can think about is kind of like how post, like back in the 70s, America used to be so chill. You know, we have,
like... She said, I just came back from the time machine.
We had, like, that time in the 40s and 50s where it was, like, oh, you know, like, women stay in the kitchen and blah, blah, blah. And in the 70s, people would be, like, you know, full bush out on, like, the pool, like, you know, like, there was a whole, like, pornography industry boom. Not saying that that's, like, a good thing, but I'm just saying, like, people were, like, open about sexuality and, like, people were doing substances, like, crazy, and they were open about that. And everything was chill, kumbaya. I mean, the Vietnam War was happening, so it wasn't that kumbaya. But, like, then after, like, that one decade, everyone in the 80s was like, Reagan, we're gonna say no to drugs. And then it wasn't just to say no to drugs. Say no to drugs is a good thing, I think, for kids.
It was, but, like, the war on drugs, which was actually the war on black people.
It was the war on drugs. And then it was, who did it? Was it Laura Bush? One of the Bushes started, like... She's the reason why you have, like, that, like, explicit content warning on, like, albums. Because her daughter was listening to Prince, and she's a prude, and was like, I don't want my daughter listening to this devil music! And then everything just started becoming so restrictive. And then, boom! What do you have? School shootings! Murder!
Okay, that was a really big jump, but, like, I totally followed that.
9/11 went downhill from there.
Yeah, big conversation we just had right there. Yeah, I think, you know, in, like, most societies, there is a pattern of, like, switching from, like, rebellion or things that are out of the norm back to, like, the modesty, the restrictions, that, like, let's be low-key and chill. And I think this is something I don't know as much about. It's just, like, the way that, like, governments or, like, structures, like, oscillate between a system or the other. Right. And I just... You know, all that to say, I don't like how we are right now. And, you know, like, and, like, that's, like, definitely separate of, like, this particular, like, administration we have going on. Like, I just don't like the culture of, like, restrictiveness. And not to say because I want to wild out and, like, do all crazy shit. But I think, like, there's, like, an implication or, like, there is, like, an obvious, like, direct consequence from limiting things like when you can buy cigarettes. And I am biased, I will say. Anyway,
I'm trying to think because I can't really, like, predict the future, because I feel like with social media and with social media and like, a lot of things have changed the way society takes things seriously. So, and that's, like, a huge thing.
That is
so true. That's it. Not only does it affect our perception of the government and things that are happening around us, it also affects how much we care and what to do about the things around us. And what you're seeing right now is a lot of doomsayers that are like, yeah. the world is gonna, on both sides. Like, especially with these plane crashes and stuff, and, like, the snow in the south, and then the fire in the west, and people are like, it's the devil! It's the devil punishing us! And I'm just like...
Like, bro, relax.
This is literally how people felt in 2012. This is literally how people felt in the year 2000. Mm-hmm. Like, it's... And then people get desensitized to that.
I was gonna say, I think... You know, like, social media, or, like, any app where you can doom scroll is, like, so... It's, like, obviously so desensitizing. Like, there's, like, in, like, the literal way, like, there is death on Instagram reels and people don't care about it right. as much. But also, like, in, like, your perceptiveness of, like, human emotion and human experience is, like, oh, like, somebody got deported, too bad. Like, it's that's a whole life that, right. like, is that's, like, insurmountable trauma. Like, there's people that, like, literally black out and sleeping in the ICE detention centers. Like, it's just, like, it's not just something, like, oh, this happened. Or, like, with the whole, like, Palestine conflict, like... It, like, obviously, like, there's a line between, like, awareness and also, like, like, just eating so much content to the point where you don't care about it as much. I think it, mm-hmm. like, it has really, like, reshaped the way that we approach empathy, and right. I really not like that at all.
Right, and I think it a lot of it has to deal with kind of, like, the news cycle right now mm-hmm. and how the news cycle and a lot of mainstream media, get off and they profit off of constantly delivering bad news. Bad news is mm-hmm. what gets attention, not good news. Yeah. So they're mm-hmm. going to constantly be pushing out stuff. Donald Trump did this. Elon Musk did this. Nancy Pelosi did that. I don't know. Are we talking about Nancy Pelosi anymore? I know she got the good stocks. But anyways, that doesn't matter. But when they are able to put this out to people, yeah. plane crash here, plane crash there,
yeah.
drought here, war here, they are getting clicks. They are affecting the minds of people, mm-hmm. affecting narratives.
Yeah.
Choosing what's accepted and what is put out and put in people's faces. And they don't care about desensitization because at the end of the day, people are still going to pay attention.
Yeah.
They really are. They might not care, but they're still going to pay mm-hmm. attention. And that's another thing, too. I feel like people need to start prioritizing what they pay attention to.
Yeah.
Take a break from some stuff.
Yeah.
And then recuperate. Like, I had to delete my New York Times Dartmouth subscription, which was valuable for, you know, classes. But then yeah. I started to realize I was getting every single bad breaking news headline ever. And first of all, I don't really like the New York Times anyways, because I don't think they're, like, that unbiased. But mm-hmm. also, I started seeing, like, I'd wake up and it'd be, like, 12 people dead and terrible, terrible earthquake and Abu Dhabi. I'm like, why are you showing me this? Like,
yeah.
I want a good day. And before I got desensitized, I was like, let me just turn this off. Mm-hmm. Because then I'm going to start being like my edgelord self back in 2020. Like, I don't care yeah. anymore.
I think you and I both know, though, like, that there's, like a superpower that comes. It's just, like, I think it does more bad than it does good. But there is, like, a little bit of good in the sense that we do have a little bit of, like, freedom in the way that we can process news. But also, mm-hmm. let's not talk about how we are being severely restricted from our own news. But that all that to say, like, we have an access to, like, news around the world that we never had before. And I do think it's, like, it is as fascinating, but it is a little bit more devastating in a way. Because I feel like I can learn so much about other countries. Right. I can learn about what other people, like, have not really, like... Like, it's, like, an opportunity that is yeah. so grand. I can't really disrespect it. But I also, yeah. like, it hurts. It hurts people, and it hurts me sometimes. Yeah. And I feel like it's a hard practice to kind of, like, to master, to be, like, how much content should I right. absorb, and what should I do with that content
and where there on get afterward. It from.
Exactly.
But that's the thing. You and I are a little bit, arguably, I don't want to get conky, but arguably a little bit different than the majority of Americans in that we have a lot more resources in terms of the info we get.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have a lot more discernment in terms of what we trust.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people, I don't want to make a generalization, I'm just saying a lot because, I mean, the most popular news sources in the country are very, very heavily biased. Mm-hmm. But that's a choice that people have to make individually to source out the stuff that they want to hear, source out the stuff that's trustworthy. Mm-hmm. And people don't want to make that personal choice because it takes too much work.
Yeah.
takes too much work.
I think like one of the biggest challenges is also like when like I think it's like with all of the bad that's like in the world or something, people will cling onto anything that is like moderately good. So I think like it's like, oh, but I like TikTok. I like the news. I really do like reading like about all this like random stuff. Like I just like knowing everything, and it's just like, yeah. I mean, everybody's different, and like I feel like I don't know too much about how other people, like, this is a conversation I've never really had with anybody, but it's just, like, an idea that's definitely been, like, formulating in there, and it does affect the way I, like, approach events in the world and how I talk about it with other people. I usually tend to be more, like, on the silent side because I don't want to, like, to risk, like, an altered, like sense of perception because of how much media I consume, and I don't want to vocalize something that is, like, that could be, like, biased and incorrect. I feel like I... Also, like, independent of, like, how other people may think of themselves, I hold myself to a very high standard in, like, what I say and if it's, like, morally correct and accepting. Because I feel like I recognize my flaws very, very, yeah. very much. And I would hate to perpetuate the things I am actively against in a way, you know? Subconsciously, yeah. implicitly, big pharma head ass. Just kidding. We're, like, reading into that term. Big pharma, big pharma. It's like, be careful, big pharma.
Yeah, no. I totally get what you mean. And that's why, that's a really good trait to have,
mm-hmm.
that ability to observe and kind of stand back before you say anything.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I know some people, you need to come to a DPU meeting one day.
Let's.
Oopsies. That's not targeted toward anyone. But yeah, you. Go to a debate, a student debate, and you'll see some people.
I would love
have
to
the
someday.
Ability to. I like to do that. I wasn't always like that. When I was in middle school and I wanted to prove to everyone that I was smart,
mm-hmm.
I was like, actually,
yeah.
and I didn't care what I said. I didn't care if it was completely wrong.
Mm-hmm.
As long as I sounded smarter, no one questioned me. You can't get away with that here.
No.
Because there is someone out there right now who is not doing a podcast episode, but scrolling on the news, consuming every single thing they can.
That is cool.
For the one moment they get to debate someone and prove them wrong, they're going to get you.
But, like, at the same time, I personally gain, like, unlimited dope. Well, not unlimited. There's no such thing. There is no such thing. But I do get, like, a rush of, like, excitement when somebody proves me wrong. Like, it's a little bit weird, but, like, and this is not, like, when it's, like, a math problem or something. I'm like, okay, like, F all of you, actually,
yeah.
if I'm wrong about, like, an academic thing that I study really hard, I'm like, fuck. Oh! I'm like, frig. But, like, if it's, like, a personal opinion that I've, like, really held on, and, like, then they say something to prove me wrong, or to just, like, shake me up, I'm like... Because I think, in a way, it's also, like, confirming that I have a brain, and that my brain works, and that I'm not a rock, and that I can accept other people, and I can be a person that I want to be. It's like yes, I can see things that are not my way of thinking, but then also, like, test me, test my thoughts, and I'm, like, if you shake my thoughts and they stand, it means I'm right, and so it's, like, a double win.
Wait, I'm confused. So,
it's
like,
if
you're
like,
proven wrong, but you still think you're right? It's
no,
still a win?
No, like, if I'm proving wrong, but, like, and, like, I'm actually wrong, like objectively, like, my thought process was not the most
mm-hmm.
correct, I'll be super happy because, I mean, I have the proper mechanisms in my brain to kind of overcome that.
Okay, that's, yeah.
Yeah, but if they try to shake me up, and I think objectively I'm still right, all things considered, double win. I'm obviously going to be happy about
okay.
being right, you know, and I'm happy that I'm tested, and you know what I mean?
That's a very, like, meta way to look at things.
Meta?
Like, yeah.
Wait, where did you get the word meta from?
Meta, as in, like, you're looking into your mind as you are, like, you know, like, if I was getting proven wrong right now, I'd probably be like, in my mind, okay, like, you might have ate with that one, but I'm not gonna let you know that. I'm gonna maybe think about it for a little bit and then come back to you and be like, okay, you were right. But in that moment, you're like, appreciating the fact that you were able to admit that you were wrong. And I think that's a very, very meta way to look at things.
Okay, can I just say meta makes me think of Fortnite because there was an occasion where my boyfriend used the word meta like in a sentence and I was like, where are you getting these words? And he said Fortnite.
Really?
And I'm just like, okay, Fortnite. Fortnite is educating the minds, I think. I cannot wait for my brother to grow up and so I can just, like, see what Fortnite and what YouTube shorts have done to this little boy. Like, I, not in a way that, like, I want to, like, analyze my little brother, but, like, Rainbow Friends, Fortnite,
yeah.
Roblox.
How old is your little brother?
He is 6. But to be honest, he's pretty intelligent. He takes after me.
I have a 6-year-old little brother, too.
Wait, yeah. Period. See, we're just, like, the same person, I think.
And he also does watch YouTube shorts. Dad, if you're listening right now, I love Zeke. But take that phone away. Please.
Take that phone away.
please. I don't want him. He's going to end up being that Under Armour sports.
The highlighter sports, middle school.
The highlighter is going to end up in
oh, that's a good one.
With the speaker in his backpack.
Oh, hell no.
That's pretty good. Or I would, but can I be honest with you?
Yeah, let's just air it out.
I would rather be him, and if you are offended, hit dog hollers. Not my problem. I would rather him be the middle school highlighter boy with, like a really kind of wholesome sense of humor than that really, really edgy communist manifesto slurs saying boy.
Yeah.
Because that person I always knew was going to be a future felon. And I was proven right. So I would rather him be the highlighter boy who grows out of it than that one Soviet Union national anthem boy.
Yeah.
Stay away from me.
Yeah, dab up on that. I think, well, I just want to say fuck you, Gio. Because he was listening. Oh wait, but like not in a, like a mean way. Not okay. No, like I'm actually talking to him. I'm actually okay. Talking to. It's not
like you're gonna get me canceled.
No. He said he was listening to the podcast and he stopped. So, I appreciated you, and then I don't appreciate you anymore.
Oh, Gio, come back.
No.
No. That's the thing. People will actually listen to this, and some people. Probably have it. I mean, I hope they don't have it out for me, but you never know. So yeah, it's not. Let's talk about why it feels so good to name drop when you can't.
When you can't.
When you should not name drop. Why does it feel so good? Why do I love to do it? Why do I love to loudly talk about people in Hop, in Foco, in all this stuff? I don't do a single scan. I just say F it. And I talk about people.
Wait, I just want to preface by saying I actually don't mean fuck you, Gio. Like, I'm very fond of this boy. He's like my brother. But
I look
alike,
too.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Wait, that kind of hurt. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I got an email from Dartmouth Taekwondo. Oh, he said he heard that. Oh, hey! Okay, no, but actually, I think it feels so good to name drop because, like, it just feels good to get your feelings out. And I think even, like, there's this, like outside external opposition of, like, damn, I can't talk about my feelings. But it's like, damn, I can't talk about the particular person that's affecting my feelings. So it's, like, double whammy, double restriction. So I think it just feels so good to get something out. I always, like, I feel great when I can talk about people. Not in like a trash talking way, but it just like I'm just glad when I can express my feelings. I'm just happy to do that, right? And I think it's like that extra layer of protection and that extra layer of like doubt that of like secondary doubt that we should give to other people. It's just nice when it's removed sometimes. It's like not like in like I love to trash talk. I hate people. It's just like I like to like, and I hope that others can do the same thing to me too. Like I hope others can. Feel gratified or feel happy when they talk about things that I've done. You know, it's like, I think it's like a double, like
No, that and I think you're gonna get good karma from that, like genuinely having the understanding that other people are gonna listen. If you're gonna talk bad about me, at least say my name, right?
Mm-hmm.
First and last name. No, I think another thing is also that subconscious desire to eventually have that person know how you feel without actually talking to them about it, which is, I think, you know, a very human thing. I think it's also very immature.
Mm-hmm.
So I would much rather, if I have an issue with you, I would much rather address it at you instead of talking through other people. I think
exactly. Yeah.
Because then things get mistranslated, and then instead of me being like, "You really hurt my feelings," someone's like, "Dominique says she wants to kill you in your sleep."
Oh.
And it's like, oh God.
Like, I think that conflict is also really hard to work out because sometimes, like, it is, like, immature in a way. And, like you said, it's also human. And I think it's, like, it can be the hardest thing in the world to, like, process how you feel about something when you don't know how to voice it. And then when you want to talk to someone, you end up saying something that does not accurately translate what you mean. Either, like, in the way that's, like, you were too harsh to erupt. You were just too inflated with your emotions.
Or you were too either, nice.
You were too, like, too, and like, too, yeah.
That always happens to me.
I think in that way, I like to kind of remove the people from the situation and think about it as, like conceptually, what did you do to me?
Yeah.
Independent of who you are as a person. And then once I figure out how I feel about that, I'll add you back in the mix.
That's like an extremely mature way to think about things.
Oh, thanks so much.
And you're completely right because I remember... You better not be listening right now. No, I'm joking. There's persons, we're just going to call them Jay, and they were in my high school, and they basically wasted my time, and in the end, when I wanted to tell them how I felt before we graduated and never saw each other ever again, I completely fumbled. I wasn't, like, extremely mean. I wasn't like, you hurt my feelings, because we never, like, dated. We were just friends, but it still hurt from, like, a romantic perspective a little bit. And I basically fumbled the conversation by basically telling him that everything he did was okay and that I forgave him. I mean, I didn't say that explicitly, but I think that was what I was giving off. And every single day, I wish I really, really said how I felt. But the thing is, I don't even know how I felt. I didn't take the time to separate him from the situation, analyze what exactly made me feel that way, and tackle it first before I brought him back. That I wish I did that.
But also, like, I think you should, like, hold yourself to that standard all the time because it's also a super hard thing to do. It's something that you have to practice a lot, and it's like, as people, like, we want to do things in a way that will benefit everybody, but, like, at the end of the day, like, we are animals. Like, we will do the thing that, like, we will just do stuff that will make our brain feel good. Like, it's not to excuse, like, outlandish behavior, obviously not. But I think, like, you do have to consider, like, outside factors. And then, like, on top of that, nothing you ever do will ever be in a vacuum. It's like, we can try as hard as we can to separate people from the situation. But at the end of the day, you can't. Because nothing, no choice ever. And I also, that's what I really like about the world, is that nothing you can ever do will ever be independent of another item. Yeah. It doesn't matter what it is. Everything is like...
You're completely right.
Yeah, so I think at the end of the day, everything should be like a mix, a percentage of something. Like, you can try 60% to be like the rational person to separate the people from the situation, but accept that you are a human being and that's not always the perfect thing. Because I'm not going to sit here, oh, I'm perfect, I do this. Like, I am, like, fucking flawed. Oh, freaking flawed. I try really hard and I, like, really take pride in how flawed I am because it does help me grow.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm like a little succulent plant, I reckon.
Yeah. No, I you're totally right. And I remember my mom, she told me that because... I was, you know, I'm still on my self-healing journey, and I'm all about separating energies and forces that don't serve me from my life. Mm-hmm. And I pray to my rose quartz every night. No, I'm joking. But no, I feel like, you know, my mom and well, also one of my friends from home checked me one day. They were like, there's a difference between establishing boundaries and then pushing people away. Don't be that type of person that protects their peace too much to the point where now you have no one. Mm-hmm. So you need to be able to pick your battles, right?
Yeah.
If this is a friendship that is not serving you because you've put in your all and the person is not reciprocating, establish that boundary, leave. But if it's because of one simple argument where you're starting to jump to the conclusion, oh, this person is not going to be a good friend, they're not on my wavelength, they're not on my spiritual, they're not on my... Then okay, now you're going through that little spiritual psychosis thing where now you're starting to elevate yourself over everyone. And I started to realize I was doing that. I remember I had one little disagreement with someone over lunch. And it wasn't even an argument. It was just because they said something I didn't agree with and I didn't let them know. And I told my mom, I was like, Mom, I don't think I want to hang out with this person. I don't trust them. And she was like, whoa. Did they, show you that they're a bad person? Well, they said something I didn't really agree with. And she was like, they just presented you with a different world perspective.
Yeah.
It's not that they're wrong. Yeah. It's just that y'all don't agree.
Yeah.
Don't use that as a way to cut them off. You don't even know them.
Yeah.
And then I started to realize, wait, I am low-key being, like, very avoidant right now.
I totally get that. And I think it's, I think it circles back to one of those things, like, people are just, like, scared sometimes. Like, I guess, like, I me personally, I've picked up a pattern on what I don't like in people, and I really, like, these days I haven't been letting, like, one defining situation, or two situations, or three, change how I think of them as a whole person, and I really try not to do that, because I really do love everybody I know. Like, I do hold, like, such a level of love for everybody here. You included, aww, I guess.
Just you.
But it's just, like, yeah, it's just, it's really hard, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, yeah, and it just also makes you think, or, like, I would imagine it makes you think of all the times that you've said something somebody doesn't agree with and they feel like they can't voice it. And I think, you know, I read a little clip of a book in Still Rose today that said to love is to trust. And I think you're just learning to meet somebody. It's the process.
And I'm trying to learn how to trust again, because I kind of, I've been done dirty by trusting people too early. It happened to me within, like, the first 8 weeks of school here. And I told myself I wasn't going to go through what I went through in high school. Dominique in high school 4 years ago was a doormat. I mean, I let people do whatever they wanted to me. And I still had that, you know, awareness that it was wrong. But I didn't care because I was too busy focusing on the fact that I didn't want to be alone. I wanted to have friends. No matter how, you know, effed up they were, I wanted them to be in my life because I didn't want to be alone. And I've been starting to grow out of that. But at the same time now, it's been very, very hard for me to make new connections because I feel like I jumped to conclusions too early where I just automatically assume that I can't trust this person because of one little thing. That being said, there are times where my intuition has been correct, where I've kind of picked up on little, very little observations.
Yeah.
And then I've kind of made the decision to leave. Just not out of animosity or anything bad, but just being like, hey, you know, I don't know if this is going to work out. I'm going to leave. And then I've seen them do someone else dirty. And then I'm like, okay, I dodged a bullet. But sometimes it was genuinely me not being able to address this, not having the maturity to address the situation. So then I just left. And I always think to myself, if some of those friendships, if I had just voiced how I felt, would they have been able to change for the better and lasted long?
Yeah. Wait, what mascara do you use?
Mascara? I went to CVS and I looked for the cheapest mascara, and it's the Essence Waterproof.
I knew you were going to say Essence Waterproof. Your eyelashes look so fucking good. I'm like, you're spitting facts about relationships, friendships, some love, but also your eyelashes are so cunt. Like, I literally am wearing Rare Beauty, and that shit comes off, like, it, like, does not. Do you curl your eyelashes, too? What's
this?
Oh, so I guess I need to invest in an eyelash curler, then.
I have this really, really cheap $7 one from Revlon. I got it from Walgreens back at home. And it's a very, very, it's one of those mini lash curlers that curls, like, it's, like, this wide. And I use it because the long, like, the long lash curlers don't get all of my lashes.
Is it, like, you know the Shiseido, like, eyelash curler that's, like...
Yeah, like...
Is it like that? No.
No, it's more of, like, one of those pro, like, precision lash curlers. Look at precision lash curler, and you'll see what I'm talking about. It's, like, one of those little... I can't really describe it. But it's so good because it lets me get the corner... Oh, God.
For context, I just showed her a picture of Pooh. Precision eye curler.
I love Pooh. I miss Pooh. My Pooh was always...
Oh, the tiny one, the tiny one. Wait, but this looks like it would stab me the fuck out.
Yes, that's the exact one I use. No, it's good. You just have to be careful. It doesn't... It actually... I have not gotten stabbed. For guys, you know, I don't want to, like, say, like, I love my Pooh or whatever, but there's a game called Pooh where you would take care of this Pooh, and I never took care of mine. I always neglected mine. And I think, you know, that's an example of why... You know, teens should not be forced to have children, because if their poo is not kept, you know, in good health, why would you think they'd be able to raise a kid?
Hashtag birth control matters.
Hashtag reproductive rights.
Hashtag wrap it up. Anyway, what a funny conversation to have.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Liz, I just want to say thank you so much for this very, very enriching conversation. Well, this is one of the funnest conversations I've had in a minute. And I know you feel really good because you were dropping some facts. We were all dropping some facts.
I just want to give context to anybody listening ever in, like, any space continuum ever. Dominique has, like, always been on my fucking wavelength, bro. Like, since, like, orientation week, like, she's just been, like, so open to sharing ideas. And I'm like, yup. Like, it's like, I feel like it's like a puzzle piece, and it's like, I'm the bucket, and she's like the water. I don't know why I've used that analogy two times today. I guess I'm really into the flow of water these days.
Buckets and water.
Buckets That's and really water, good. And shirts that are wet, and you wring them out. And
yeah. All I'm going to say is that this podcast episode is going on my gratitude list.
And it is going in mine. I should make one. I really want to get into journaling for the sake of things.
Yes, I stopped journaling. I'm actually going to write my gratitude
list. It's a journaling. It's a therapy. It's like medications when you need them.
And
it's
I think it helps bring back good blessings into your life. When
exactly.
When you acknowledge the good things happening in your life and you don't
exactly.
focus on the bad stuff, you start to notice more good stuff happening mm-hmm. for some reason.
Exactly.
Well, I wonder how that works.
Well,
anyways, we're going to go now.
So much love to keep it as hysteric. I love Dominique. I will come back. It's like that term you think, I'll always come back.